Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 467, Shazam.
I'm just going to get out in the ether now. There's a really good chance during this review I'm going to call him Captain Marvel because that's what I've always known him as. So that's not because I'm saying he's the real Captain Marvel. It's just because...
Well, you're sexist.
My entire comic book career, he has been Captain Marvel, so it might slip out.
Yes, it's a convoluted history. Yeah. That one, both of them.
Yes.
So I guess let's go around the table and introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And before we dig in, just real quick, don't forget shameless plugs. You can find us at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. People who are kind enough to share the show this week, Tammy Sherman Powers, Griffin Fox Smith, Lane LeVanway, Aaron Marlowe, Chris Sanders, Dylan A. Lang, Travis Tewitt, Jason Weesey, Librarian Cynthia, Ron Johnson, Julian Jordan, and Richard Lawson. So thank you very much. And of course, there is our Patreon account, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you can get extra content and maybe even one day end up on the show. Who knows?
Not this early.
No, we're recording this one very, very early. So if we sound sleepy and sluggish,
I'm more impressed that you got those League of Show Shares like up and ready to rock and roll.
Well, the internet finally got working again, or Facebook did. For a while, it wasn't letting me, but now it will. So anyway, there, all that is out of the way.
Yeah,
Shazam.
There has been a shift at the DCEU that kind of started with Wonder Woman, and then carried into Aquaman, and then we've got this one. And I got to tell you, they figured it out.
I loved this movie.
I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was... I went in with, like, medium expectations.
Yeah, just I had no expectations.
He's one of, like, he's... Almost. Captain Marvel, Shazam, is one of my favorite characters. Like, I love the kid into the adult body. Like, that...
Look,
careful.
Like
the, I know.
Careful.
Like, the wow. Big... The movie Big.
Yeah.
Like, that idea, but as a superhero, which we get a reference to, which I thought was, like... Was it a little heavy-handed, or was it like, did they earn it? I feel like they kind of earned it.
I thought
it
was cute.
Yeah.
It didn't seem that bad at all.
If they didn't linger on it,
right,
it would have been worse, but it was just like a one...
Yeah, it was, you know, really like
a
quick.
A one-second thing. Yeah.
And I mean, everyone knew from this movie's inception that this was going to be... I mean, we heard ramblings, right, or rumblings of, this is big, this is the template, kind of like Marvel used to do with their,
sure,
hey, it's like this movie, but with a superhero.
Right. So, yeah, it's just I feel like Shazam is a hard character to get right. Like, this could go really, really bad, and the cast makes it work. Like, Zach, yeah, Levi owns this movie.
I thought the kids were good too.
Kids were great.
Did you like this movie, Tom?
I did like this movie. I thought I don't think it was as good as Wonder Woman, but I think it was
no.
I
think it's number
but
two.
But I think it was more fun than Wonder
yes,
Woman.
Yes, definitely. Yes, I think it's a different fun than Aquaman.
Yeah,
like I thought Aquaman had that like Michael, like that 90s Michael Bay, like, yeah, big
it's like
budget.
Pulpy. It's like there's something, you know what I mean? Like it's fun and it's great, but it's like kind of like
over the top CG.
Yeah, it's
like
kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous,
yes,
you know? Like, you know, they did the permission to come aboard is one of his is his first line. Like, it's ridiculous, but it worked. Like, it was,
yeah,
fun in that way. Where this one was more just like a I mean, it had heart to it.
This is the closest they've gotten to the 1978 Superman.
Yeah,
in my opinion, this is as close as they've gotten so far.
I don't think it matched it in terms of like the wonder of Superman.
I agree.
With the heart of understanding the characters, I was going to say the same thing. Yeah. This is the first time since that Superman that we've gotten characters that you really like connect with them on that level.
You have
like,
a character
really
arc for Billy and Captain Marvel and or Shazam. So this movie starts in the 1970s with a little history on the character. There's a wizard called Shazam. And he picks a champion who will give him his power, and he is chosen to protect the Rock of Eternity and the world. So he's been looking for this champion, and he hasn't been able to find him. So we see this kid. He is at the Rock of Eternity. He is, teased with touching the power of the seven deadly sins, and he fails. So the wizard says, "Get out. You're out of here." Kicks him out. Kid goes back to the car. We are introduced to Lionel Luthor, who's in this movie. John Glover, who is I love that guy. Like, he's one of those B actors where I'm just like, yeah, let's get him every single time for any, like,
always be Riddler to me in the animated series. I mean,
that's true. But I mean, like, he was Lionel Luthor on
Don't know.
You never watched Smallville?
Nope.
Man, that's a shame. That's a great show.
No, I never did.
It falls apart like towards the end, but that was so here's the deal, right? So he's Lionel Luthor, who has a bald son. In Smallville.
Okay.
He has a bald son in this one.
Uh-huh.
He runs a major company named after himself in Smallville because he runs Luthor Corps. He runs Savannah Industries in this. So it's just like the parallels of Lex Luthor and Dr. Savannah is very... Like, I don't know if they did that.
I guess that's why they cast him. They're like, hey, you're a comic book guy. You've done
this. But I feel like... I don't know. You've got a Lex Luthor in this world already.
But Captain Marvel / Shazam was always a Superman knockoff.
He always was.
So
there's a reason DC bought him.
So it stands to reason there's a lot of parallels there.
Yes, correct.
It's because it was lazy writing.
It was. Not to say that this movie was not lazy.
No, but the origin of the character was lazy writing.
Yeah, your character looks just like the other guy.
They were just like, oh, go get us a Superman.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
but his dad and brother are kind of a-holes. I mean, they're really crappy
always,
to this kid.
Yeah.
And so when he gets he could get all this power, and then he's sent back to his crappy life. And so, of course, he's upset by that.
Freaking out.
He freaks out, and they get into a car accident.
Yeah, he kind of causes the first accident.
Right.
And so, like, they're kind of sitting there. Their car spins out. And I do like that they have kind of like a beat up Ford LTD, like to go to your point, where it's just like everybody always has a new car in the 70s.
Yeah. It drives me crazy.
It was like a kind of like a used Ford LTD, which I don't think they even make anymore. So then they're sitting there, and they're both the brother and the dad are yelling at the kid. And then all of a sudden they are hit. Like, and I was like, how fast was that guy going, and how long were they in the road that he didn't stop?
Right.
Like, I feel like they were sitting there for a minute.
A very poorly lit road.
That's true. So
you don't know if he's dead or not. It looks like he's caused the death of his father.
Right.
He's laying there, and the brother says, you did this.
Right.
And then it flashes to present day.
And then, so it's interesting. One of the things that has always kind of been that separates the DC universe from the Marvel universe is the Marvel universe sets everything in the real world. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's New York or it's Boston or wherever, where in the DC universe, like it's Metropolis or, you know, Central City or Gotham. So they put this one in Philadelphia, which I thought was interesting considering they named the school after the city that Captain Marvel Shazam is in. So like Fawcett City is what his city is in the comics.
Yeah.
But they put him in Philadelphia. And I was like,
that is weird.
That's an interesting.
Yeah.
Like,
but like
amalgam.
the school is Fawcett City or Fawcett Central High School or whatever.
So they just combined them.
Can we talk about like what is the age range of that school? Is it K-12?
I have no idea.
Because when we get to the lunch scene, they're all there for lunch together.
That's true.
And but Darla, the youngest.
Well, they came to visit.
They do. You talk about the very last.
Yeah.
Scene.
They came to visit.
They do say like we pulled some strings or changed our schedules.
Oh. Well, she did say that, but I just assumed like we just all changed our schedules to come to lunch together.
Yeah. But although you see them dropping off the youngest, the little black girl,
Darla. Yeah.
You see him dropping her like
at the same time
partying in the hall. It's
right.
Like she's going one way. So I guess it's a massive
school.
Yeah.
Giant.
I've never seen a public school that does that.
I've never seen a public school that does that. Or a Catholic school.
That's true. Catholic schools do K-8.
Yeah. K-8 and then...
Although, no, because there's the sister.
Mary.
That's
Mary's
older,
Mary's 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine.
So yeah, so they Billy.
Maybe they're next to each other. Maybe there's the
that could be.
I do see schools where they're next to each other.
Yeah, it's probably like middle school next to
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, so we're finally introduced to Billy Batson, and it's in, like, I'm of two minds about this, right? So Billy Batson, the reason he is chosen in the books, at least, to be Captain Marvel or to be Shazam, is because he's full of hope and he doesn't. Mm-hmm. He's not a.
So in this one, they turn him into like a little street punk that kind of needs some saving with a heart of gold.
Like, it's tough because when you find out his motivation for breaking into that police car,
right?
He's kind of not a dog, though. Like, he has no other way to get information.
Yeah, he's only being a dog in the for a grander cause,
right?
Yeah,
but I still in the movie and not being a Shazam guy or Captain Marvel guy, this struck me as odd because I thought, well, he's not really that pure if he's still going to break the law to get information. Like, yeah. To me, I didn't really. I thought that was
this is a Geoff Johns thing. So yeah. Geoff Johns in the New 52, Geoff Johns rebooted Captain Marvel and changed his name to Shazam. Mm. And kind of gave Billy Batson this edge to him that I don't like, personally.
I just think it kind of undermines the entire point of that he's this champion of good.
Right.
If he'll even do... I mean, yeah, I know that it's hard to get information, but like still, if you're willing to bend the law to...
And take take a Geno's cheesesteak, which I was like, well, that's product placement, but... Yeah.
And I like this movie. I just at first
look, our job... I'm not crapping on this
movie. Jason Todd him.
They did. Yeah. They really did. They kind of Kyle Rayner'd him, too, where the wizard, like, finally when he goes to see the wizard,
it's like, you're our last
You're the, like, only one I got.
Good enough.
Yeah. Right. It's like they kind of had to.
And that's the Kyle Rayner Green Lantern thing. Right. Like,
it's like he's literally the first person
Ganthet sees.
Yeah.
He's like, here, you take it.
Yeah.
You're good enough. So he breaks in. And this is the character that he's doing in this moment right here, where he's like, holy moly, like, I saw him go in there, that's Billy Batson.
Yeah, right.
That's
he's pretending to be the original.
Right, and holy moly is definitely a catchphrase for Captain Marvel, which I thought was hilarious that it came back later, you know? So the cops run in, he goes into the police car and goes on the computer and starts looking up people by the last name of Batson, because we find out that he got lost. And as soon as he gets lost, like, young Billy gets lost, and like she doesn't show back up, and I was like, well, we're gonna see that woman later.
Yeah. and so it's interesting, I thought that the parallels between the good guy and the bad guy, they both have crappy parents.
Yeah.
And one almost became Shazam, you know, and one was really close, and then one does, but it's like they both have crappy parents. So I think they drew those parallels between the good and bad guy for that reason.
We'll get into like the other champion that they reference, because so Billy gets adopted. Well, gets taken in by a foster family. Mm-hmm. He's surrounded by a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
Mary and Freddie and Billy, like those three have been the Marvel, quote unquote, the Marvel family. You know, Captain Marvel Jr. is Freddie. Miss Marvel Mary Marvel is Mary. And then Billy is Captain Marvel. So he goes in, and of course he's like, I think Freddie Freeman, who's the kid from It.
Yeah, he's great.
He's great.
Oh,
he's
my
a
gosh.
Little over the top. And there was a moment.
He's the highlight of the movie.
Oh,
really?
The best.
I think, yeah.
He's the best.
Yeah. I honestly didn't care all that much for the kid who played Billy Batson. I didn't.
I liked
him.
Oh,
I liked
him. The Freddy kid is like.
But the Freddy kid steals the show.
Yeah. And it's interesting, the guy that. Okay, spoilers. Adam Brody's in this movie.
Yeah.
And when Billy Batson.
Freddy
Freeman
God.
Says Shazam.
Perfect.
And he turns into the perfect person that, you know, that he's supposed to be. It's Adam. And
how
it took
great
me
of
a
casting
second.
Was that? I'm like, is that Adam Brody?
Well, they did it twice for this kid, right? Because Bill Hader's playing the older version of him in It.
Okay,
I mean,
but
that's also perfect casting, right? But when he says Shazam,
Adam Brody with the way just the way he acts, just his mannerisms and his kind of quirkiness, I'm like, oh my god.
It took me a second to even, like, when you see him for the first time, I was like, that's weird. That guy looks like Adam Brody.
Yeah, right, that's the same thing. But I'm like, that's Adam Brody.
So Freddie is crippled. And I do like that they reference the old DCEU where he's like, you know, don't trust anybody. Like, it gets really Game of Thrones. It's in the trailer. He's like, I tried to jump out the window and I broke my leg. And Billy's just like, what is happening? He's like, I'm kidding, dude. Like, I'm joking around. But he's a superhero guy.
Billy went to that address and it was a black woman. So clearly
it was not
his mom. He's just desperately trying to find this mom that, quote unquote, lost him, which we find out is abandoned.
Right.
And that was the last name on the list, too.
Right.
Yeah, so
he threw his notebook away and gave up. So Freddy is a superhero guy. Like, he's got a bullet that may or may not have bounced off of Superman, and he's got a batarang.
Let's just say this is the first movie, and I love this. This is one of the greatest things about this that embraces superhero fandom.
Oh, yeah.
Within
yeah.
its universe.
He's always wearing a superhero t-shirt,
we've
always.
We've never seen anybody in the real world be like, these are our rock stars.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you've got all these superheroes, and all
well,
we ever...
Well, you've seen it in Aquaman.
Well, okay, okay,
oh, that's true.
Because, selfies
yeah, yeah,
the
stuff.
Selfie scene.
But
in
I mean,
Aquaman.
But this, yeah, I guess I just took it as like this level of fandom. Let me yeah. collect this bullet. Let me. I mean, those guys are just like, hey, we heard you're the fish man or whatever.
Right.
I mean, this kid has the shirts. He has the memorabilia. I mean, we've never seen that level. And I thought that's great because these superheroes, if they were real, would be celebrities.
Especially
they
the two that they
stars.
Reference in this.
Yeah,
like I thought, the two big ones.
That was fantastic. And yeah. he has batarangs or what? I mean, it's just great.
Right. He's got batarangs. He's yeah. got newspaper clippings. He's got all kinds.
This
of stuff.
This is what kids would be doing. Just
right.
like we collect.
Oh,
comic
yeah.
books.
Sure.
These kids would be collecting real life Superman touched this or you know
right this, oh this is the bullet that bounced yeah. off Superman's
so
eyeball
yeah.
or something. So of course Billy's just like, I don't want to be here, like yeah. he's got these emotional walls up, and
the little sister's so sweet, she just wants a family so bad, you know, and a big brother.
Billy's kind of
there's
a
the other brother is like really quiet and doesn't talk,
so you've
so
got
you're
Eugene
not sure what
you've
the...
got Pedro. Eugene is a little Asian kid. Pedro is kind of a chunkier
yeah.
Mexican kid.
Who doesn't talk, who you think maybe is just mean, but he's quiet.
You got the gay reference from that
oh,
kid,
yeah.
right?
I mean, oh,
they,
no, I didn't.
They,
oh,
gave
yeah.
us, they gave us our first gay superhero.
They did. So then when they transport into the...
when Yeah, when they yeah. they land in the strip club, and like they're all like, oh, boobs, and they walk out. And
he's like,
and the,
not for me.
And the kid's like, yeah, it's not really my thing.
Oh, I didn't take
and,
it
and
that way, but that's
out,
funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
yeah.
Okay.
And I, thought, I was like, that's slick. Like,
yeah.
that's real
yeah,
slick.
Because I didn't even catch it,
right?
Yeah.
So yeah.
I thought he was the quiet, like, meh. Like, he just seemed like nothing impressed him.
No,
but
I totally picked up on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I took it as, yeah. like, I don't like boobs.
Not saying you're wrong. I just, yeah. I just, it was that sly. I just
yeah.
I took it as
that's,
like, oh.
That's what I appreciate, right? Like, yeah. he didn't, it's not heavy-handed.
No.
It's a one-line thing.
Yeah.
And it gave you everything you needed to know about Pedro.
It wasn't flamboyant or something.
Wait
it's
a
like
minute.
He
His name is Pedro? Like, Pedro from the real world?
Wow.
Who was, you don't remember Pedro?
No, but I mean, I just, Pedro's a pretty common name.
I guess that's
like,
true.
I don't know that we can.
That's fair. Maybe I'm just thinking, did you ever you know
no,
that?
No.
Oh, Pedro from the, anyway, real quick, Judd Winnick, who wrote Shazam, was on the real world back in the 90s,
okay.
who wrote a book called Pedro. Pedro was on the real world.
Yeah.
He was one of his best friends. He wrote a comic book called Pedro and Me about like them leaving the real world, but Pedro still being his friend and then ultimately dying of AIDS.
Well, okay, that was relevant. Good job.
Thank you.
Well, I'm just like, the real world, let's talk.
No, but I trust me. You think I can't tie in comic books to anything?
Oh, I know you can.
So
do we have the time?
That's true. Yes. So, yeah, so Billy is super standoffish. He doesn't really want to be there. They enroll him at Fawcett Central Element or whatever Fawcett school. And throughout the day, like he's a, I don't want to say he's a glutton for punishment, but he's broken. Like he's a broken kid. He's
well, he doesn't
bounced,
want to
he's,
be there.
He's bounced from family to yeah. family. He's never had a connection. Darla like gives him a big hug and is like, all right, see you later, big brother. And he kind of like pulls her off of him. He's like, I'm not your brother. Like we're not family. And of course that crushes Darla and Freddy steps in. He's like, no, no, like, don't worry about it. I got it.
So people are mean to Freddy. And so we see that. And at first Billy's kind of like,
we see the two guys from like, or the two bullies in, Christmas Story.
Oh,
it's the like two bullies.
Yeah,
in movie.
It's yeah, right.
Generic two bullies that pull up in their big truck, but they're mean to Freddy. At first, Billy
flick.
Doesn't really
flick. Yeah.
Doesn't really do anything, but then he really, later on in the day, they're like beating up on Freddy. And
well,
so,
don't we see them pull up and then he kind of pick on like because they hit Freddy with the car.
Yeah,
and he was like, oh, you know, you
right,
hit
and
our
then
car.
Freddy smarts off to him and they're actually physical,
right?
With him.
And then
Billy
steps
in and whoops their asses with it. He takes the crutch, doesn't he or something?
Yeah, he takes Freddy's crutch.
Oh my gosh, like he is beating the crap out of them,
right.
And then they run.
And then he gets on the subway, and yeah. then as he's on the subway, which this is out of the books,
yeah.
and also the tiger that they keep referencing. Is in the books as well. Like, that's a character. Like, Tawny the Tiger
okay.
is a thing in the comics as well. So, like, Billy has a tiger on his backpack, like
okay.
a little tiger patch. He wants a stuffed tiger when he's a child.
Okay.
So that tiger is always a thing.
He eats Frosted Flakes.
He eats Frosted Flakes yeah. because they're good.
Could because they're good.
No, because they're great. No, they're good. See, I set that up and you delivered. So, yeah. So he
goes to see Shazam, who's on his last.
What's his name?
Shazam?
No, the actor.
Oh, it's Jaimin Hinsu.
Who is also in Captain Marvel.
Yeah, he's in every movie.
I'm just saying, like, he's in both versions of Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Like,
isn't that funny?
Yeah.
yeah.
This dude, like, he has figured out the cameo game in like pop culture movies.
Yeah.
So he does the same spiel. We should also say at this point, Dr. Savannah has grown up and he has been trying to figure out how to get back to the Rock of Eternity. And he has
whole teams of scientists that are working on secret projects, which are just to get him back.
Yeah. And finally, he comes across this woman who says, like, my clock went to a certain time. Like, my clock was all messed up. He's like, she had video of it. He sees the video. And then he figures it out.
This is the only thing that, and I saw this a couple weeks ago, but the only thing that seemed a little far-fetched was that all these scientists were working on this project that they really didn't know what they were doing. He's spending probably billions of dollars in research or whatnot to this, and then, like, the head people are really not sure of what he's up to.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It was a little, like, maniacal villain, like, super lab secret, but whatever.
I guess he has it compartmentalized, like, they're working on different aspects
of
it. Yeah. It just seemed weird, like the head scientist. I mean, and she was led to believe she was working on something else, but still, like, the fact that he was spending all this money, I would think they'd be scratching their heads like, what are we doing?
Actually, you know, I think in my opinion, in that line of business, are like, did the check clear?
Yeah.
Whatever.
So
he sees, like, these random numbers that show up on this woman's clock, and he figures out what it is. We should also say this probably isn't the best movie for younger kids.
Definitely. Yeah.
I would say, like, teenagers to preteens and up is good, because David Sandberg is a horror guy. He directed, I think, Lights Out. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Have you seen the short?
Yeah.
Ooh, that was good.
Yeah, there are some pretty intense moments.
I think
it would come down to how skittish is your child.
Yeah, which, again, is always what we're going to say.
Yeah.
You know, I think in today's
this reminds me of the old PG movies, like, before there
was R. I would agree with that.
This is borderline, you know, this is the Gremlins or the
Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom, that's the one. And, you know, it's like that kind of PG, or else these days it's like very on the border of like PG, like it is PG-13,
right.
Not like kind of PG, it's a PG-13.
They lean into the PG-13 with the language, because there are some
S-bombs.
Right, so if you're not comfortable, like, this is not a PG superhero movie.
No,
it is PG-13. You get everything that comes
On the upper side of the 13.
Yeah. It's just, you get, so expect that. Don't go in and bring your kid and be mad. It's like, no.
You don't get everything that goes with it. There's not really anything sexual.
There's not at all.
Okay.
I will say Mary, when she's Miss Marvel.
Well, that says more about you than
the
movie.
I'm fine with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's just, when you go to a PG-13 movie, some parents are getting upset and getting mad and leaving or whatever, but it's like, it's not a PG movie. It is PG-13. You have to, you know, read the ratings. It is what it is.
Right. In parents' defense, they have really watered down
PG-13. They really have.
Like, almost anything's a PG-13 anymore. And so, like, because of that, you do stumble into movies sometimes where you're like, how is that a PG-13?
Yes. Yeah.
Where then you also stumble into movies where you're like, why is that a PG-13?
Yeah.
Like, I think the MPAA is so wonky about how they rate things.
But it's scary and there's language. So, like,
There's definitely some scary images.
Like, my son's 9 and he loved this movie. He was never scared of it like that. Like, he was totally on board. So, but my 9-year-old might not be someone else. You know, so you can't really just say an age. It's
just, you make it even watch Antichrist at 4.
No, it was 5.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. Good. That's good.
Yeah, but it was his 5th birthday.
Well, I had to. I mean, I really felt like I needed to wait until he was 5, but I didn't want to wait that long.
Midnight on his 5th birthday. Wake up, buddy.
Yeah. Or the gift bags at that party.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Just like boards with nails in it.
Yeah.
Well, that was
entirely full of blood.
Well, that was pin the tail on the friend.
Literally.
Well,
not like a picture of Joey or Chandler.
I had them all dressed up like you, but it was...
Wow, that's weird. Yeah, so Dr. Savannah figures out how to get back. He goes
Doesn't
in...
Doesn't she, like, touch a symbol and dies?
Well, she touches the door.
Yeah.
And, like, she gets crumbled. Like,
so is it like he's the only one that can take it because he's almost powerful enough?
Maybe.
To...
They don't really explain...
I don't know, because he also doesn't touch the door. He touches the doorknob.
Okay.
Yeah, there's electricity off the knob, too, and he just kind of embraces it and opens it.
Oh, yeah, I was just wondering if it was because he's resistant, because, I mean, he almost became the champion. So
yeah, he was close.
I thought maybe he could handle the power, and just a mortal could not.
Or maybe the Seven Sins were letting him back in.
That's,
so
he came close to... like, because it... he keeps saying, like, he has this magic 8-ball and it says find us.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, it to Tom's point, where it's like they gave him
a little bit of that's definitely them leading him back for sure.
Yeah. So he goes in, he comes face to face with the wizard again.
Is it the same magic 8-ball that John Belushi had?
Nope.
Okay.
Because that one killed him.
That wasn't magic, unfortunately.
So the 7 deadly sins, like, he kind of, they possess basically Dr. Sivana, and he's got the cool eyeball thing, which is right out of the books. Like, this is all like that character looks just like he looks. I feel like in the comics he's really short.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Why is a bad guy got to be really short?
But he doesn't have to be.
All this, everybody's upset about being with scars.
That's true. He's got a wicked scar on his eye.
They
own that.
But doesn't he basically like almost kill Shazam? Because I guess we see him later. But and then he yells out to go find the.
Yeah, he says he leaves, and then this is where we get the fight between Freddy and or Billy and the bullies. He's on the Billy is on the subway, and the subway kind of turns into a shuttle to the Rock of Eternity.
And he ends up there, and it's a really funny scene where this is exactly how you expect a kid. I mean, he even handles himself better than I'd expect, because you got this creepy, crazy old man talking who knows what, but this guy's saying stuff, and he's like, I'm going to go now. Like, it's a really good
moment. It's a very
good,
they're very realistic. Funny. Yeah. So the wizard basically says, I'm going to give you all of my power. Like, there are 7 seats here. All of my brothers and sisters are dead. I'm the last one. I chose a champion at one point.
Now hold my staff and say my name.
Right. And I was just, he was just like, correct. No.
Yeah.
And
he's just like, do it.
I was like, okay. But like, we get a little bit of a breakdown of the former champion who used his power against the people. That former champion is Black Adam.
Yeah.
Played by who's been the Rock. He produced this.
Yeah. How do we, and I saw that. I'm like, how do we not get a post credit scene with him? I'm like, I was so expecting it.
Yeah. And it's, he's a bad dude. Like, Black Adam is a bad
dude. It's going to be crazy to see the Rock doing that kind of role.
Yeah. And it'd be interesting to see like him playing off of Zach Levi.
Yeah.
You know? He kind of takes the staff, says the wizard's name. And now we've got Zach Levi. I got to tell you, the suit's a little weird.
Like, I thought it was
I thought his shoulders were too big.
Really?
Yeah. Like
beforehand,
that was
that suit looked ridiculous. Like, no one, in God's name, is that suit going to work on screen? And to me, I'm like, okay, it fits somehow.
I just thought the shoulder, like, it. Not to say that Zach, he posts the videos online. We know that he bulked up for this movie.
But is he still padded? Like, he looks
huge
in that suit.
It's
gotta be
looks
padded. Gigantic.
And not only that, but it's like drawn. It's so, everything's so, the muscles are so rounded.
Right.
I mean, he looked big, like, and like physically, you know, as an actor, but I'm just like, it can't be that big, right?
No.
Like,
I thought everything from the shoulders down were fine, but his, for whatever reason, his shoulders looked so cartoony. But also, you know, I complain that people kind of make Superman, Matt, like Henry Cavill gets in stupid shape for those movies, but he's like, the character isn't based, like his powers aren't based on the size of his muscles.
Right.
So like Christopher Reeve, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Where when they've always drawn Captain Marvel or Shazam to be
huge,
kind of that exaggerated Arnold Schwarzenegger build, because that's
H is for Hercules.
That's right. Exactly. So like I can appreciate the bigger build on him rather than Superman.
I liked it though. Nothing about this movie jumped out to me where I was like, oh, that's stupid looking, or oh, that's like, this movie worked on all levels.
No,
it
did.
I'm not saying it's a perfect movie, but with the tone of it, with the heart, with the action, the CG, the creepy stuff, I'm like, this movie, it turned out really good.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
I will say, going in when I was like, 2 hours and 12
That's
minutes.
That's a long movie.
And honestly, I don't know what I'd cut.
No,
there's
really nothing.
It
you
did
can.
Not feel like that at all. Like, this movie was fun. And that's the thing. It went by quick because you're having fun. Real fun. You're not having fun with it. It actually is fun.
Right. No, it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch the characters. It's fun to watch Billy try to figure out
it's
his
big.
Powers.
It is big. So like, this is the plot of Big with Shazam swapped out for just an adult Tom Hanks, and it's like he's trying to figure out, oh, I'm a man, I'm an adult, and I can do all this stuff, and him discovering his powers, similar to the Spider-Man, like the comedic tones of the original Spider-Man, jump off buildings and, you know, get his webs and all that stuff. You know, it's
and
him.
He even says Shazam.
Yeah, right.
His,
I mean, it was totally
version,
right. And so it's fun to see him discover that. Oh. And Freddy's helping him, because Freddy's a superhero guy when they eventually meet up, and he's like, can you do this? And you get a montage, and he gets set on fire and this and that.
Right.
And he's like, oh, yeah, okay, so you're fire resistant. Good. And
bulletproof. We've
just,
got that.
Yeah,
we've got him,
Oh, yeah. The scene in the convenience store where he's with the bad guys and they shoot him and it doesn't hurt. And he's like, keep shooting him. Nothing.
Oh,
shoot him in the face.
So this is also what I will say, is one of those bullets would hit Freddy. Like, he wasn't catching them. He was just letting them bounce off.
Yeah.
They bounce up and hit Freddy.
That the only thing I agree, the one the other thing that kind of felt weird to me was the fact that they were being so reckless. They are kids, so I get why they would
be, but
they were being so reckless in that scene that I'm like, well, yeah, you know, these bad guys could always kill Freddy.
Right.
Like, it's not like just because you're a big superhero looking guy, the bad guy's like, okay, well, we're only going to shoot the superhero looking guy. Like, they could have then just letting them freestyle with their guns, they could have killed anyone. So I didn't like that. It worked for the comedic tone.
Yes.
But when you think about it, you're like, no, disarm this. You're letting criminals just.
I do like where he does disarm one of them. And then he gives the gun back. He's like, no, seriously,
right.
Keep going. Yeah,
so
keep going.
It's funny, but it also was like a little irresponsible when you think about it. But
which I can understand. A 15-year-old would be irresponsible.
They would. That's the thing. They're kids. So.
Right. So there's. I will say there's also a comic called Superior by Mark Miller and Lionel Francis Yu that is also very much this story. So at this point, Savannah breaks into his dad's company and another. Pretty
we
much
see the dad's alive.
We see the dad's alive. How, also, that dude doesn't age. Like, I feel like we are.
Right. He looks the 40, same in the car.
40 years later.
No, he looks like modern day John Glover in the car. Yeah. And then in present day, he looks like.
The owner of a billion-dollar corporation. Maybe he's had some work done.
Yeah.
I get it. But another very horror-esque scene where Savannah releases the seven deadly sins
into the boardroom
and they start chomping on people and throwing people
eating
out windows
people.
Again, very horror-esque. David Sandberg, I think, is all, like I said, horror director.
I thought it, you know, and it's interesting. I didn't expect that horror element to this movie. I just didn't even think it was gonna. So like, it does get creepy and kind of scary, but it was good. Like
Andy Sandberg did the mocap.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
Look at the thing. Not Andy Sandberg. Andy Serkis. Andy Serkis did the mocap.
For the demons?
For a couple of them, okay. I think. Yeah, but he had a whole team, but I think he might be the main one.
He is a WB guy. That would make sense.
Right.
He's got his whole company, I think, that does that since Lord of the Rings. Like, he
you know, they're like, look, you're
going to
do this for
capture.
After the garbage you gave us for Mowgli, you're doing this for free.
So it was creepy and I liked it. But again, be prepared if you have kids that are sensitive to horror stuff. This has actual horror movie elements.
Yes.
Not the blood necessarily, but
there's
demons
no
and people getting eaten. I mean, it's horror.
There is blood, but it's like coming from Captain Shazam's nose or a cut on the back of
Savannah. But I mean,
like,
they're
not
tearing people in half and their blood splattering on the window. It's
correct.
It's, you know.
So this is where the deadly sins kind of say, look, there's somebody out there who's the wizard has chosen a champion.
It's like looking in the magic mirror and who's the fairest of them all? And
right.
Like, oh, you're second fairest. There's this other one. So he's like,
and he goes, you need to get to him before he finds his full potential.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that can mean one of two things. That means we're getting the Marvel family, or like he realizes that he needs a family to unlock the true potential of his power.
And it was both.
Yeah. I didn't think we were going to get the Marvel family, honestly. I thought they would save that for a sequel.
Yeah, I thought there's no way they're going to pack in all them becoming these heroes in this origin story. And to their credit,
it
really works. That final scene with all of them,
yeah,
it really works. But to me, I'm like, oh, no, this is Shazam's story. You're just going to have him and then, you know, later sequels or whatnot.
Right, and we'll get them later. Yeah. But this is where Freddy and Billy are kind of like messing around, figuring out their powers. And then Billy kind of turns a little bit and is a jerk.
He goes back to the Billy that we met in the beginning. Like, it's that, you know, kind of selfish and, you know, what am I doing here? You know, now I've got all these powers and you're keeping me down and everything. And so Freddy, who's helped him this whole time. I mean, yes, Freddy is exploiting his powers. You know, Freddy is using Billy's powers to help him. So like, I get the frustration by Billy, but still he really
Billy doesn't know what he's doing, you know, so so they, you know, Billy kind of runs away again and
he promises Freddy that he's gonna meet him at lunch
because he's kind of said to these bullies, he was like, you don't want to mess with me, like my friend is the Red Cyclone,
and that's one of the reasons why Billy's mad at Freddy. But still, then it's like he really needed him at that moment,
right?
And he's out there messing around like on the streets, like having people pay him to use his powers.
Like, there's Philadelphia is front and center, and I think this is filmed in Toronto, but I feel like they do a pretty good job.
There's like a Liberty Bell, and
they're at the Rocky statue.
The steps to
what's the guy on the guy on the top of the building?
There's
the
a
statue.
I thought it was Benjamin Franklin.
Is it Benjamin Franklin?
He's from Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was, but
whatever that statue is, like that's there. But there is a good scene where Billy's on the steps of the art museum and he's doing the Rocky theme with lightning bolts. And I was like, all right, you know, cute little references that work.
Another thing a kid would do. He's a goofball. Oh, like, yeah. He's just a kid that's been given unlimited power.
So this is Freddy kind of shows up and they have an argument. And during the I think, does Billy accidentally fire off a lightning bolt and hits that bus?
He's goofing around and then it hits a bus. And so he causes an accident, which he ends up saving, and everyone treats him like a hero.
Right.
But then Freddy, just like the audience,
you did it, you idiot.
You caused this.
And I felt like that was a good, like what you were saying about the Quick Mart scene, about how reckless they are.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this kind of pays that off, that like there is a consequence to their recklessness.
I'm glad they addressed it. Yeah. Yes, because it's like, you know, you're out there just showing off with your powers, and it's like, obviously when you're given, it's just like the great power, great responsibility.
Exactly.
I know that's Marvel, but that saying is so important, because it's like, you have this great power, but you have to be responsible with it, or you will kill innocent people, or you know, you will abuse it or turn into the bad guy. And so, you know, Billy's really close, I think, at this point of just causing a mess and him letting his emotions, you know, you don't know which route he's going to go. I mean, you know, but at this point in the movie, you're like, geez, you need to clean it up here, buddy.
Yeah, get it together. Yeah. So he catches this bus, and I thought the bus catching was a little like,
this doesn't make sense physically.
Well,
because all the people falling, and then if a bus fell that fast, you can't just catch it the glass like that.
Well,
you
so
would go
I don't,
through the glass.
Okay, so
like,
he didn't catch the glass. I know it looks like he does, but when you see him put it down, his hands are like where the engine would be.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a huge dent.
I just remember, it's been a while. I remember there's something wonky.
You are
right. People falling from the back of the bus to the glass would go through it.
It was cool looking.
Yes. Physically, this did not make sense.
No.
I would bet any money on it.
I thought the same thing is, like, people are bouncing off that glass.
Physics don't work like that. Like, you would go through
it. He had to go up.
Yeah.
He
would have had to, meet it with momentum or something.
It's the Superman thing where he catches Lois and he catches the helicopter. This was their opportunity for that scene, but instead, like, the bus falls off the...
It's a head fake.
Yeah.
It looks like the bus crashes, but no, he's under it.
He catches it.
So a little wonky.
But then he and Freddy kind of get into it about how he's, you know, he's like, you wish you were me. And he's like, yeah, I do.
I like this scene.
Yeah.
He's like, of course I do.
Why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
But you're not basically living up to your full potential.
Yeah.
Very honest scene. And again, that kid, he is great.
Yeah.
Especially because he spent his entire life, one, not only, you know, physically hampered.
Right.
But also because he spent his whole life idolizing superheroes.
He had,
and now this guy who just shows up, gets it all.
Right.
Yeah.
So Billy kind of, they have a little tiff, if you will. And then Savannah walks up and he's kind of like, give me your power. And the way Zach Levi plays it, he was like, yeah, man, I'll sign an autograph for you.
Something. Yeah. When he first walks up and he's really,
and he was like, oh, this is the scene in the trailer. He's like, oh, you're the bad guy. Okay. Yeah. Like, before we do this, I should warn you. And then, of course,
Zachary Levi is really good in this role. Can we, like, I just...
Absolutely. I think Zachary Levi is... he was Chuck, which I think we've all liked Chuck.
Yeah.
He was the main character in Tangled. He was the main
He's
Flynn Rider. Mm-hmm. And I think when they cast him, he obviously does not have the Shazam look, right? Like, that's John Cena.
Yeah.
As much as I hate saying that, like, the look of John Cena... is what Captain
Marvel.
He's
more of a John Krasinski guy than a John Cena.
Yes.
Right? I mean, he's just got that. He's a funny goofball looking guy.
If they recast Superman, it would be hilarious if it's Krasinski and they look so similar to each other. So the massive superhero fight, and Shazam is losing. Like, he did, you know, this is the first time he's come up against anybody, first of all, but anybody that is more powerful than he is.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really know how to use his powers yet. Like, he's still trying to, you know, we were still doing tests not 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So we get to the fight, kind of goes into this mall and it's surrounded by people. And I do the Santa Claus gag was one of my favorite gags of the movie, where he's just constantly running away.
He's sitting there asking kids like what they want for Christmas, and then insanity ensues.
He's like, I'm always around, and he throws the kid down and takes off.
And then throughout the rest of the movie, he's everywhere. The disaster is. Yeah.
So Billy kind of says, you know, he uses the word. So obviously, to access the power of Shazam, he has to say the name Giant Lightning Bolt, and he turns either into Freddy or into Captain Marvel, whichever one he's not at the time.
So there's all this chaos with the mall. So he uses it to turn back to Billy, and he escapes into the crowd.
Right. And then there's a news, like the news report from the bus accident is on TV, and we see Zach Levi arguing with Freddie mm-hmm. Freeman, and then we see Freddie in the mall, and this is where we I guess there's a little bit of a time jump because they go back to the foster house mm-hmm. with Freddie, because Freddie and Billy have been missing at this point.
Well, he kidnaps Freddie.
Okay, so this is what it is. So they're watching. All the kids are in the parents are pissed. All the kids are in the house, and they're watching it on TV, and they're just like, they see Billy and, or Captain Marvel and Freddie arguing on TV, and there was an argument earlier in the movie at a dinner table that was like an old married couple where Billy and Freddie were going back and forth yeah. and arguing, and Mary puts it together. She's just like, the big guys arguing with Freddie just like Billy was, and I was like, all right, Lois, like, that's pretty good. I got some good journalism. So she,
well, he wasn't wearing glasses.
That's true. Thing, yeah. So. Well, he wasn't carrying himself differently. So Billy at this point has come back to the house, and the parents are dressing him down. They're just like, you can't. It's interesting that they don't reference the physical disability, but they're just like, you can't look at him. Him being Freddie, like, right. you can't do this to him. Like, look, he can't protect himself. They kind of dress him down. Mary and all the kids kind of walk in. They're just like, you're him, huh? And I do like, so
the little girl knows.
Darla knows.
She saw him earlier.
And I do love her reaction. She's yeah. like, I'm a good little sister. Yeah. Like, I didn't tell anybody. And they're just like, what?
And like, it was just a good scene going back to where Billy's been missing for a while. And then he sneaks in with Freddie eventually.
Right.
But he's like full size. He doesn't know how to get back. And then he says it and then turns
like
in
a
front
lightning,
of Darla.
Lightning bolt through the house. Yeah. There's a great scene written by Mark Waid that I'll get into at the end that is a fantastic take on that Shazam thing. Yeah, so at this point, Mark Strong now shows up at the house. He's got Freddie, and we know that Billy is in the house as well. So Billy goes outside, says, gives the word, and then Mark Strong kind of says, look, either you give me the power or I'm going to kill them. And they were just
and
like,
I think Mark Strong's really good. I don't know how you guys felt, but like,
I've always liked Mark Strong.
I mean, I know a lot of times Mark Strong plays a bad guy, but as far as like a superhero villain, I don't think he was too over the top.
Nope.
I think he was really serious, but like, he played it well. You know,
he was
like
a great Sinestro,
young
shite movie.
Young, not James Cromwell.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, good call. But yeah, like, he was a great Sinestro.
Yeah.
Garbage movie.
Yeah.
You know?
I thought he was really good in this. I'm like, you know, a lot of villains I think are just kind of meh. Like, we just see the same villains over and over. And although he's not reinventing the wheel when it comes to this character, the way he plays it, I think, is perfect for what he's, you know, just
yeah.
Mark Strong as an actor, his choices.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's a bad dude.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And obviously very angry, very tortured. And so I really liked him in this role.
Yeah, I liked him as well. That's the thing, is like, this cast is a bunch of people that you wouldn't normally cast, mm-hmm. but it works.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
everything works on every level in this movie. There again, we've talked about the CG before. There are some wonky CG heads,
really,
in this movie. Yeah, like when he's flying around and like, it's almost like not Paul Rudd, but the Hulk. What's his name? What's the actor's name?
Oh,
Mark Ruffalo.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm like, well, which one?
Three
yeah. recently,
okay.
so,
the one that we've seen the most.
Okay,
remember that scene in
when he's little head, big
yes.
Hulkbuster. Yeah.
Right, that was yeah. there's some of that in here. Yeah.
Overall, I thought it was pretty good though. When I was looking at like the shading and the lighting on
yeah.
the sins and everything, and you know they're like, because remember superhero movies and CG heavy movies didn't used to take place at daylight.
Right.
Because you couldn't hide it. It looked bad. Well, when the seven sins are in that boardroom scene that we talked about very early on in the movie, they're in daylight. And there's a lot of scenes that take place in daylight, but the lighting and the shading looks good. So
right.
I thought the CG was really solid in this movie.
This isn't a Warner Brothers movie either. This is a New Line movie. Like, this was not through
that's
Warner
fair.
Brothers proper.
I mean, they own them, but you're right. The New Line produced
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the guy from New Line who was heavy on this is now in charge of Warner Brothers. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the guy that made the jump. Does Billy
he's in charge of DC
sorry
movies.
Yes, that's what I meant.
Okay,
yeah, I'm
because
sorry.
The
Warner
Brothers
the Warner
guy
Brothers guy's in
is
trouble.
Out he's in trouble. So I'm like, because you just
no,
made this mistake 2 weeks ago.
I did
or
you're
I'm
right
like,
you're right
no,
this
no,
is
so
the,
let's not make that
no,
mistake.
The guy who is now in charge
the
of
the New
DC
Line guy
EU.
Is now the DC movie guy, so
right.
like he knows what he's doing.
I mean, yeah, and I don't know how if he had any input on Aquaman, but I mean, this was I think this was kind of his baby.
Yeah.
So do we jump to the Rock of Eternity from here? Like, I'm trying to think from here, like,
may as well.
Okay, so Shazam and the fam, like Shazam and Dr. Sivana jump to the Rock of Eternity, and Shazam's about to, he's going to lose again. Like, he, you know, it's this is round two, and he's
do they all go to the?
They show. They walk yeah, through. Okay. Yeah. So that's what it is. Savannah.
He makes the doorway.
Gives the door, and he, you know, they walk through, and then the kids kind of back Shazam up. Like Billy throws a. It's an interesting moment where they don't cut. You see a batarang come out of nowhere, and you're just like, well. This could go one of two ways.
Oh, because the sins have left.
Right. All right, so he's cut. But when you see the batarang, you're thinking, to me, I was
I never
did, but I was like, you know, what would be funny is if it is him.
Yeah. If you remember Freddy having the batarang before, then you're like, oh, it was Chekhov's batarang, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's cool, though. So we see that when the sins are out of...
he's Savannah.
Savannah. He's normal. Sinestro. He's normal. He loses his power. And so they're the only things actually powering him. And so when it makes him bleed, that gives our characters the idea that we got to get them out.
Correct. So they kind of beat up on Savannah for a little bit. They run away, and this is where Billy starts to accept them as his family. Like they backed him up. Now he's kind of like getting them, you know, running them around the Rock of Eternity. We find these doors that I thought was kind of a funny gag, where like there's all these doors and they lead to different dimensions from the looks of it.
That was really funny.
Where then finally they're just like, that's it, no more doors. Like I kind of thought that this is where we get like cameos. You know, like
yeah,
you see the Green Lantern
right.
or something.
Mike and Sully.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Or Beetlejuice. This guy being a horror guy.
Well,
Beetlejuice doors.
You could, this is the scene
where you'd open up to the different
there's Oa,
characters.
Or there's, you know, whatever. To me, like, you would see, like, the Blue Devil or something.
Yeah,
random.
Something obscure. Yeah.
Well, it also would have been a good out if you'd open up and you'd seen something from one of the other DC movies.
Oh, that would have been good.
Then it would have given...
It's alternate world.
Right. It would have given them that out if they had wanted it.
If the world, whatever thing was, terraforming, they're like, nope, no thank you. So then finally, I guess since he has the powers of Shazam, he is able to like teleport in and out of the Rock of Eternity like at will. So he figures that one out. So we go to like a carnival, which I got to tell you, who in their right mind would go to a carnival in Philadelphia in December?
I
feel like it'd be really cold.
Yes. It does say, though, on the banners, winter carnival.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, because I was having the same thought. Yeah. And I was like, well, they at least address it like it is specifically.
Yeah, it's all set up for Christmas. So they're
cold. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
It's like going to Six Flags in, you know, the middle of January in St. Louis. So, again, massive fight. Like the seven deadly sins are there and Savannah's kind of tearing them up. Finally, Shazam has the staff, has the wizard's staff, and he kind of slams.
How does he get it?
So Mark Strong had it. They knocked him down.
Oh,
they
okay.
took it.
Gotcha.
And then they. So this is where
he tells them like
he's like I need like hands center.
Yeah.
So they all kind of grab the staff and he's like, say my name, and they're all like Billy. And he
that
goes
was another
yeah,
fun
no.
moment.
Great.
The other one, the one
the
I
one
gotta say
it, like he can't
like,
say it
because
then he'll
right.
turn right. Yeah.
So they say it, and then we get the Marvel family.
That's
which
cool.
this is another Geoff Johns thing. Geoff Johns, when he redid the character, expanded the Marvel family from not just Freddie and Mary, but to everybody else. Yeah. And they all become the perfect versions of themselves.
They're they're all funny. They all look good. Like I really like
that gal that was Darla was amazing.
Yeah. She was really good.
I don't.
And she had to play a 7-year old or whatever. It was great the way she was innocent and kind of like, oh, did I
when
do
she
that?
Sits, she sits on Santa Claus's lap.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really funny.
But I think Freddie, the reveal that Adam Brody was Freddie at this point, I was like, man, that's pretty good.
That's spot on.
That's pretty good. And
spot
on. I'm glad he finally got it. He was supposed to be Barry Allen.
Oh,
he was
yeah,
cast as
yeah.
Barry Allen in that George Miller Justice League. Like he wore the suit, he had everything, and then
that's cool that he got.
Yeah, he got his go. It's good for him. So
if there's a sequel, you know they're going to get those people back.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, he's sitting there waiting.
I feel bad for when these kids grow up.
Yeah, they're not going to be.
I mean, Darla is going to be 10 by the time however. Maybe they just say.
Movies take a couple years to get made. If 2 years isn't that much of a jump, like if they,
I don't know,
you can let
like
them age with the movie.
You say that, and then we look at Bran from Game of Thrones, and that kid aged like 5 years and 6 months.
Yeah,
but they still might be able to keep them because it's not just about that they're older; it's about that they're these different physical specimens.
That's true.
So they still might be able to keep.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair. another massive fight inside the amusement park where they're all kind of fighting their own little.
Yeah, this is all of them split up. They're all fighting everybody. I mean, this is just, it gets into generic good guys versus bad guy right. territory. It's just the showdown. It's the epic showdown. But their goal is they know they have to lure the Sins out of
Savannah. Right. And then, so they're doing that and they're not exactly winning, but they're not exactly losing. I couldn't tell if like they didn't get all of his powers, right? Like, Shazam has everything.
Mm-hmm.
So flight, speed, invulnerability, mm-hmm. the power of Zeus, all that stuff. Where I feel like,
well, they didn't know. They just got them. And
that's kind of what
how
I thought
long
too.
It took Shazam to figure it out.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that they didn't get them. I think it's just that they're a bunch of kids like, whoa. I mean, they did pretty good for being.
Well, I guess I felt like Pedro got the strength or mm-hmm. Darla got the speed.
Like each one get a different power
instead of
all of
them.
And then he's got all of them.
Yes.
Yeah, that's possible.
I don't know. Like it's been a while since that Captain Marvel comic has been hit or miss. Like it's not been.
I remember wondering that in the movie, but now I can't remember.
The original three, they all had his powers.
Yeah.
If you've never read Miracle Man, go do that.
I will see. And I think the problem that they run into is if they gave them all the powers, then it doesn't make Shazam special. So
right.
I like it if they split them up because you can't have the main character be Shazam and then have all these other powers. Cause then it's like, oh, well then we could just make any of these movies. Right.
Right?
So I like that idea. If it's true,
it could be. Yeah. So,
but they trick him. So eventually they trick Savannah.
Do the scene where Savannah and Captain Marvel are fighting in the air and they're very far apart and, Savannah starts monologuing.
Well, I was having that thought earlier when they were talking to each other, and I was like, how are they hearing
each
other?
Right.
Or when he's above the park, he's like, I will. And I was just like, they wouldn't hear that. So I was glad when they did that gag.
It's kind of an Invincible joke where they're in the comic Invincible where they think he has all these powers. He's like, I don't have anything that comes out of my eyeballs and I can't hear. Like, I have normal hearing. I can do everything else, but I can't, you know.
But this is great. I love that. I love that they can still find ways to make these superhero powers funny. Like, I mean, to address them like that.
Right.
Because it's like we've seen it all. We've seen the powers. Heroes that can do this, that. And they go and they address something like this that you know, but you don't really think of or give credence to.
Well, because Superman has super hearing.
Yeah.
So, of course, he would hear whoever it is monologuing from a mile away. But I do like where he's like, oh, you're giving your bad guy speech.
Yeah.
What? No.
And Mark Strong again. I mean, he plays this so straight, so well.
Was he a good guy in not the Secret Service,
the Kingsman?
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
he was.
Good
okay. So big fight. Another not really massive, but Billy uses his brains instead of his brawn and tricks Envy to come out, and now Mark Strong has nothing.
He's like midair when the last, because all the demons are out fighting the other Shazam family, I guess, or whatever you would call this. So it's like he only has one left, and so he's midair. He tricks him, and then Mark Strong just falls,
and
like
he catches him. Yeah, which I thought was a good little, like, he catches him by the leg right before he falls. We go back to the park. They win. The Marvel family wins. They pluck out Mark Strong's eyeball. And then all of the other demons.
Do they go into it? Or
they
how
come.
Does that,
yeah, they come back.
Because that's the orb or whatever.
Right.
In the
and once they all go back in, the orb kind of grows. And I do like this scene too, where Billy's like looking at the orb. He's like, "What do you mean I could have everything that I wanted?" And he's about to put it in his eye, and the whole family's just like, "No!" He's like, "Come on! Like, I'm not gonna put this gross thing in my eyeball. That's nasty."
I think it's funny for the family. I mean, you're insane if you thought that was real.
No,
I mean,
course not. That would never.
I thought it was kind of like a.
Never ever happened.
If we were at the hour 45 mark, then
maybe.
But
we're right
we're
there.
At the 205.
Yeah, it was never convincing, but it was funny for the family.
It was. Yeah. And then they go back to the Rock of Eternity. They put the seven deadly sins, return to their.
Does he destroy it or something?
No,
or?
He puts it back in that little wicker thing, and the seven deadly sins go back into the concrete encasing.
I guess
they're
can't
captured.
Just destroy that thing, huh?
Nope.
I guess it's just
gotta keep
indestructible.
It.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, I get for like future whatevers or, you know, never. You shouldn't kill your villains off like Batman did in 89 in one movie.
MCU did it. MCU did it every single movie
in the beginning.
So like, we'll never.
But it's like, God, sometimes it's like you just wish that you could actually. And I think that'd be another funny thing if they found a way to be like instead of you're like, oh, let me put this back in here, and he just crushes it or something.
Right,
like,
right.
I'm not leaving that sitting around. That would have been a good comedic beat. For
you
this.
Give it to Batman.
Yeah,
that's what everybody else does.
His safe with the kryptonite.
Yeah, the kryptonite and everything else. The yellow power ring or whatever.
Yeah.
The family's back again. The cat, like Adam Brody. The fact that he was in this movie is hilarious.
It's great.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
I thought that was amazing.
So we go back to the family, and everybody is on board. Yeah. Billy puts his, they have this tradition where they all put their hands in. Billy's the first one to go in. He calls it a home, and of course, yeah. it's a big. Who's the dude that plays the dad? Should I know that guy?
Yes, he was just in something.
He's
else.
Not from Lost, is he?
No, he's not from Lost. But he was just in another movie. And I,
they were great. Like the, yeah. I, we didn't talk
the
about the
parents.
Were good.
And again,
good.
To the heart of this, it's like they want. I'm guessing they can't have kids, and so they've decided to make it their goal to adopt all these kids.
And or they could.
They
want
to feel
like because they both say they were foster.
They
kids.
Were both foster kids. So I almost think it's more. Okay. They were like, we're gonna give a good home.
Right.
They
somebody helped us out. Yeah. So we'll help. But,
so it's a very nice, heartfelt moment. And so we're not skipping over just due to time. But like,
yeah,
this movie is very good with the family. You know, and making a family. Oh, and that's the other thing. So I wanted to get to was the bad guy had crappy parents. The good guy had crappy parents. He eventually finds his mom, and the mom still doesn't want anything to do with him.
Was the thing is like the mom saw him with the police after, and she was like, deuces.
Which I'd never doubted for a second. No. I mean, obviously it was abandoned. I mean, you would find your kid. You knew.
I do like
how
they played that scene. Like
two different ways.
Because when I was watching the first way, I was like, I don't know that this
is
really playing the way, especially when she never finds him. I'm like, it's not that hard to find
the
kid.
No, you would tell the police. You would never leave the park.
Right.
The kid was with the police.
Right.
The kid was not abducted.
Right.
There's no way if you were looking for your kid, no way you wouldn't find him.
Yeah.
He's sitting there in the same park. You would never leave. So
I just wish they had casted an actress who was younger
in that moment
because she didn't look 17.
It didn't make no it
so
it,
when
yeah.
they say she's 17, I was like, she's supposed to be 17.
Yeah,
no.
She
did
not. She looked like she was like 25
at least.
And
yeah.
So you know, so it makes more sense if you know, when you know she's 17.
Right.
But the point is though that they just being blood is not the only way to make a family. That's my point. They both had crappy parents, good guy or bad guy, but look at the family that he finds in the end. And so, you know, I think it is a really good message about family and, you know, the people that you love and care about, and it doesn't have to be blood relation, right? And
right.
So the movie has a lot of heart, and to your point earlier, I haven't felt this way about a superhero movie since the original Superman. And so they handled that really well. Also balanced the action, the comedy, the
campiness.
Horror elements.
Yeah. Like it's very campy, but they own it. It doesn't
but
feel
not
like
too much.
Right.
It's just the right amount.
It's the perfect amount of camp. So
they're happily ever after.
And the foster dad plays Jerry on The Walking Dead.
Ah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So yeah, so then the not post credit sequence is they're all, you know, Freddy's at lunch and the kids are kind of giving him some guff. And then here comes, like, he goes to sit at different tables. Everybody kind of gets up and walks away.
Finally, Shazam shows up.
Well, like the family sits down, and I was just like, where are we that all of these kids can come into lunch at the same time?
But Shazam walks and he's like, hey, Freddie Freeman, it's my buddy.
And he's like, this guy taught me everything I know.
And then
he's like, but there's. I brought a friend.
This is
and
hilarious.
Then the John Williams theme pops up, and you see
it looks like
Superman,
the suit and everything.
It's a different suit.
Oh, okay, but whatever.
Like, he's got red on the belt now, so I was just like, okay.
But it's not Christopher Reeves.
It's
it looks
not,
like
it's not.
Modern.
I guarantee you, it ain't Henry Cavill.
No, it's
we don't see him from the neck
but that's
up.
That's the funny thing. Yeah.
And he sits, you know, and then of course everybody freaks out.
So post credits, who is this crazy
Mr. Mind is this Captain Marvel villain that is completely bonkers.
Yeah.
He's
like a Nazi villain.
He's like a little, so just like he's
like in
a
the old
slug.
Comics, he wears a Nazi hat and an emblem. Like he's a crazy.
He's a little slug who has always been, around for years.
Right. He is, I mean, it's like a 40s Nazi villain.
Since 1943. And it's the team up. Like this is the team up.
So Mark Strong's there in his cell trying to draw the glyphs.
Right.
And
trying to get back
this
out.
This guy shows up like, I'll
the seven realms are ours. And I was just like, okay, is this the Avengers Protocol thing where, like, we're going to have to bring all the heroes back together to save the Seven Realms? Or is it just going to be
knows?
On? Who knows? But either way, little slug, Seven Realms, here's your sequel.
Yeah.
And then the second post-credit sequence at the very end is they're trying to talk to Fish. And I do like that Fred, you know, he's holding up this.
What a dumb power.
He's like, no, of course I can't talk to Fish. Like, what a stupid power. The kid's wearing an Aquaman shirt. It's interesting that they chose to go with the Superman route because I think they offered it to Cavill.
I thought they had, and they couldn't
get it done. But wouldn't you? I mean, if your second post credit sequence is, Momoa would have done it.
Oh, who knows?
Yeah. But it was good.
Yeah.
And again, if this is where we're going with these movies, obviously
that's
we've got
three for three, man.
Obviously, we've got Joker that's going to be different. We've got some, we don't even know what's coming down the pipeline. Wonder Woman 2. That's the next one that we know of. So they've figured out their formula.
Yeah, I think they're on the right track.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, I have no idea how this fits in with Wonder Woman or Aquaman, like, tonally.
No idea.
But I don't have to care.
I wouldn't mind seeing Levi and Momoa on screen together.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
I mean, the Marvel movies had a lot of different tone.
Yeah, this one feels very different from, you know, especially because they've gone more into, it's easier to take that when it's cosmic.
Yeah. Sure.
And they haven't really done that, but...
We shall see.
Yeah. So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBrackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. And while you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. And don't forget our Patreon account at Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Pet Cemetery. So until next time, elderly Jack is the class valedictorian.
I went to see a gypsy woman late last night. Told her everything I do, it never works out right. I gave her all my money, nearly 40 11 cents. She said you need a magic word to give you confidence. Just say Shazam, zip zap, man, you gotta put a whammy on. You can move the world or walk into the Pentagon. No one's ever heard that special secret word. So if you want your way, just remember what to say.
Shazam!
Shazam!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.